Hi, this is Anna. Welcome to the free recording today. Our talk on Ayurveda and healthy eating guidelines. I'm super excited to be here for you all and share this free service and just give you guys a little offering of some of the work that I've been doing, some of the stuff that I've been learning over the past few years, and then also as a little snippet to the intro of this awesome program that I'm launching in April, April 13th. I'm starting a coaching program to coach you through Ayurveda habits. That's a 10-week program to basically just like up-level your health through like some really simple practices that make a massive difference in how you experience life and how you feel in your body. So let's get started with doing a meditation together. Everyone's phone is muted, and if you feel the need to chime in at any point, just press *6 and you'll be unmuted, just as an FYI. So anyways, let's get started with meditation. If you can, you can put your phone down and put it on speaker if you'd like your hands free. That's available to you. But basically, let's just sit down wherever we're at and drop into the space right here and right now. You can close your eyes if that feels good. And feel your seat, your bottom, just sink into your chair or your cushion. And feel the weight of your body sink down and be pulled down by the gravitational pull of the earth. Allow yourself to rest down into your body, into your chair, and rest into this place where you're being held. Let's take a few deep breaths together. Exhale and let go of anything and everything you don't need. When you're ready, take a slow, steady, deep inhale from the base of your belly. Let the air fill up your body from your belly into the bottom of your lungs, into your chest, all the way up into your shoulders, all the way up into the top of your head. And when you're ready, take a slow, steady exhale and let go of everything you don't need. Now practice stretching your spine tall and reaching up into the space above you. In the space of our being, I'd like to lead us through our five koshas, the five sheaths or layers of our being, as they are known in Ayurveda. So first I want you to presence into your Anamaya kosha, your food sheath. This is your physical body that emerges from the food you eat. It's your anatomy. It's thick. It's the heaviness of our being, the weight, and the earth element. Next, presence into your pranamaya kosha, your vital air and breath sheath. This is the physiology of your human being, the movement within your body. The five pranas and the actions on breathing in, breathing out, absorbing, distributing, and moving out. This layer of your being goes beyond the boundaries of the physical. Just feel into that. Next, feel into your Manomaya Kosha, your mental and emotional sheath. This is our continuous flow of emotions. Presence into your feelings and into your emotional realm. When you're ready, move on to the Ganamaya Kosha, your intellectual sheath. This is the layer of our being that practices discrimination. Feel into the energy that directs your mind. Feel into the possibility of reaching further into the realm of the unknown. Lastly, we reach the Anandamaya Kosha, the bliss sheath. This is the most pervasive sheath. It exists in the ether element. Feel into the sheer expansiveness of your being, the ultimate bliss and joy that you are. Now, come back down through the five layers of our koshas or sheaths and presence back into the food body, our heavy physical self. Feel into the weight of your being. Feel into the food sheath, the part of you that holds and anchors the experience of the multiple layers of our more subtle selves. And when you're ready, you can slowly open your eyes and come back into the presence of the room that you're in. Cool. Well, thanks so much for being here, you guys. I'm really excited for this. I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Anna Welly, and I'm an Ayurvedic practitioner, and I am in training to become a yoga health coach, and I'm super in love with Ayurveda and everything that it offers, and I'm just, like, super passionate about the simplicity of it, its alignment with nature, and how it assists us to align with, like, the greater energies and power of nature to feel better. I started studying Ayurveda 4 or 5 years ago. I studied at Kerala Academy and went to India over a year ago and interned in Kerala at a clinic there, an Ayurvedic hospital, and spent some time at a Panchakarma center. And yeah, I'm like super thankful for the path of Ayurveda and where it's brought me today. And I'll continue to forever be a student, without a doubt. Currently, I'm working with Kate Stillman from yogahealer.com. She has a really awesome Ayurveda school called Living Ayurveda about, like, evolutionary practices in the modern world, amongst other things that she does. And that's where the yoga health coaching certification is from as well, about coaching people into an Ayurvedic lifestyle through scientific methods of how we change our habits and change ourselves. And so I'm practicing that right now as well, which has been super awesome, and I'm super thankful for that. And yeah, what I want to talk to you today is about our, basically our relationship with food and diet, and kind of like presence into like all of the challenges there with that, but then how we can also make it really, really simple and just eat in a healthy way that doesn't have to change what we're eating. I feel like there's so much information out there that I also appreciate, but also it can be like really overwhelming and confusing. There's just like so many new diets, new foods, or old traditional foods, or guaranteed foods, like different kind of approaches to like creating a healthy diet. And what I just kind of want to like make a point of is like, even if you eat the best food, supposedly, like get on the best diet, if you're not eating it in the best way, the food's not going to be healthy for you. So even if you're buying like whatever, the most expensive, organic, whole, fresh, amazing, super nutrient food, if you still have the poor eating habits, you aren't digesting it and assimilating it in the body. And so your body's not able to take on what you're offering it and bring it into that like food sheath, that like first layer of ourself. And in fact, the kind of like sad part is that if you're eating in poor ways, if you have terrible eating habits, you can actually be creating ama or toxins in your body. Ama is a term in Ayurveda that refers to the undigested food material. It shows up as plaque or toxins, and its qualities are sticky, heavy, dense, cloudy, and thick and wet. So it's kind of like this like filmy kind of like plaque that happens when the food isn't digested in its optimal way. And the ama will first build up in the digestive tract. And once it gets excessive there, once you have a lot of this like plaque or film in your colon, it needs to be stored somewhere else. It just, the body doesn't want to hold it there. So it would start to redistribute it to other areas of the body, finding places to store it or kind of tuck it away. And it basically goes to like the weaker tissues in your system. And ama can show up in a lot of different ways in the body, a lot of different symptoms that we can have are basically the representation that there is ama in our system. A white coating or a plaque on the tongue is the first and one of the most obvious signs that you have undigested food in the colon and potentially in the rest of your body. If you have, if you scrape it off with your tongue scraper and it goes away and like the remainder of your tongue is like a bright pink or like a good, like healthy red, then you're probably okay and it might have just been like from that particular meal or like the last couple of days. If your white plaque is like really embedded into the tissue of your tongue, then that's a representation that you have a lot of ama embedded throughout the rest of your body. And you have a little bit of deeper work to do. A heavy, cloudy, or thick or ill feeling, or just having the sense that something is kind of like off, or you feel your body's like in a funk, or just kind of, you have this like kind of like icky sense of feeling, you're not like clear and light and refreshed and energized, is another kind of like sense of ama that you experience. Having allergies, mucus, itchy ears, achy joints in the morning, bad breath, persistent headaches, cloudy eyes, constipation or diarrhea, dull aches and pains, skin rashes, reoccurring colds, PMS, unhealthy food cravings, having like moodiness or depression or irritability, or if you wake up feeling sad or crabby, it also means that you have ama that's built up in the body. Being happy essentially is our birthright. And so if you're waking up and you're not feeling joy, then you're not in the best integrity with your body and your health needs. So when the body isn't breaking down and digesting food properly, the waste isn't being properly excreted through the main channels of just going pee, poop, or breathing. And so then the body refers to the weaker tissues or an alternative route to either store it or get rid of the ama. And this is one of the main reasons that your reoccurring symptoms become reoccurring. So the more often the body redirects the ama to that tissue, the stronger that channel becomes and the weaker the tissue is. So it's like a default route that kind of becomes more and more established, like the more often that the body has to push the ama somewhere else. So it's like if you kind of like your first, maybe your first like ill health symptom is getting congestion of mucus in your sinuses, then it's kind of like that's become like the weaker tissue area in your body, and that's where your body's just kind of directing that mucus, which is essentially ama, into your body to like for it to be excreted. When the body holds ama and the cells become cloaked or covered in a sticky, cloudy type of residue, they are then less able to communicate clearly. So the natural intelligence of the body and the possibility of a particular region or tissue becomes ill or diseased. The ease, clarity, and vibrancy of the body or tissue is compromised. The cells that are cloaked in Amar are dumbed down and the flow of consciousness is blocked. This confusion, when it's very high, creates unintelligent cravings. And an unbalanced body with a lot of Amar pushes itself into further imbalance when it reaches a far point in the spectrum. So basically it's like what happens if you just take a cell in the body. It's like it's being cloaked or covered in this kind of like white sticky tissue or residue. And the cells aren't able to effectively communicate with each other. And that like flow of innate intelligence, the like just the consciousness of our being, isn't able to like freely flow through within itself. And it becomes like dumbed down and stuck or blocked and basically unintelligent. It's not like working at its highest. So when your tongue becomes coated, especially as well, it's like you're not able to tap into like what your body needs to take in as food or what the rest of the digestive system is asking for, because you're just literally dumbing down the ability of your tongue to like taste and sense. That's what it's taking in as its nourishment, as it's like food is medicine. So it's like the further we become blocked by Ama, the further away from our center that we are, kind of like the more support we need to get redirected back onto the healthy route. And once we become that embedded in that place of like centeredness, the more intelligence that flows, the more like strength and resilience it has, and the more you crave things that make you feel good and healthy. So it's like once you kind of reach that, get close to that point of centeredness, the more your body can sustain and like thrive on its own to like create, make its own healthy, intelligent decisions. And the cool part is that I know that you guys already know this, like so much of this, but I feel like I'm just like kind of opening up this conversation and this like ability, this time for us to talk about it and kind of drop in this conversation. So what is the plan? And how do you reduce Ama and have more clarity and ease within the body and maintain the healthy cravings that help you feel amazing? If you're way off track, the first big leap is to do a cleanse. But I don't want to go into that. I want to get into having healthy habits, healthy eating habits that are important for you all the time. Especially if you cleanse, when you come off your cleanse, it's like you want to eat in the best way to like not put yourself into the position of having to continually doing like deep talk, your body's like deep need for deep detoxes. So it's important to establish these healthy practices and to maintain the balance and digestion and prevent the possibility for their Ama to be created. Being in balance helps the interconnectivity of our cells and tissues, our whole self, to flow with consciousness and naturally create better health and to evolve. Healthy cravings and healthy habits create healthier cravings and healthier habits. So there is hope. We just need to bring in some of the healthier habits and let the momentum build. I've been working a ton on this for the past few years, and especially in this past year, and just really like setting in the habits as they are and making them something that's like kind of like an unconscious practice. Like you don't have to actually think about doing it. It's just something that's more like intentionally done without it being something you have to try to work to do. So some of the basic Ayurvedic guidelines to healthy eating, they help us have healthier digestion and make more intelligent practices so the way we nourish ourselves and beyond. The way I kind of want to structure this was the who, what, where, when, and why of eating, just as a simple way to remember it and kind of get in touch with it. So the who is obviously you. So first and foremost, what is your state of being? Kind of tapping into how you feel or where you're at before each meal. Are you relaxed and ready to receive? Are you grounded, centered, and present? Are you carrying any negative emotions or energies that have built up throughout the day? So before taking in something physically, it's optimal to be in a fresh perspective to receive. In the old school Ayurvedic tradition, families would change into clean attire and bathe each other's feet before preparing an evening meal. So they'd kind of like let go of like the day for what they had been doing all day, if they're working or at school or whatever it was, and kind of like transition into like the evening time and sitting in together and preparing food and having a family meal. Today, I think it can be something as simple as just taking a deep exhale and letting go and softening to enjoy your food. You might go a step further and maybe like splash some water in your face or like cleanse something off for the day. You might want to sit down and do a meditation and just kind of come back to your center and drop into like your present moment before you start cooking and preparing food. If there's some going on in your life, a lot of stress or negative emotions, you can maybe write down what it is that's like really getting at you for the time, and then set aside another time or place or specific action to take to help you transition those to basically work on those emotions, whatever it's causing you in your life, and put it aside for another time so that you can just kind of step into your dinner time in like a more neutral place. By doing this, it changes the energy within our body and the energy we impart on the food in front of us. Having an emotional, energetic state of anger, worry, or sadness sets this vibration into the molecular structure of the healthy food you're consuming, affecting your digestion and body tissues. The more you let those emotions go and step into a place of neutrality or positivity before eating, the healthier it is for your present and future self. Our energetic vibrations and our thoughts and emotions carry their qualities into the world around us, including the food we eat. So it's really important that whatever we're projecting energetically through these like vibrations, we're doing it in a conscious manner of like what we want to put into our food while we're cooking it and eating it and take back into our body. So it's like so wonderful to cook for, like with friends or like have, you know, enjoy the process of whatever you're making, whatever food you're going to eat, because that's what you're embarking into, like that cellular structure of that food as you're taking it back into yourself. Pratima Rasher, a brilliant, really beautiful, wonderful Ayurvedic author, states that each thought is an impulse of energy, of consciousness, that sends a ripple of influence through the universe like a grain dropped in a cosmic pond. Now, imagine what we add to our food when we cook a meal with joy and care and sit down to eat with a peaceful mind and graceful heart. Rightful attitude transforms mere nourishment into nectar. That's from Pratima Rasher. So I invite you to examine who you are before eating or preparing your food. Are you calm, centered, peaceful, happy, joyous, or content? And do you need to sit down quietly before stepping into the kitchen? Or maybe go for a walk? Or just splash some water on yourself? Or even just take an exhale. Just maybe one simple exhale before your first bite is your first step into relaxing yourself to take in your food and your nourishment. The next practice is what? And so there's a lot of ways that we could dive into this aspect of diet. Rather than talk about what food to eat and what diet to do, vegan or paleo, raw, cooked, whatever food is best for your dosha, instead let's simply focus on whatever it is you're already eating. So this practice is to drop in and get super present with your food. What does it smell like? Kind of just really getting familiar into what's in front of you, whatever it is. What does it smell like? What aromas are reaching your nose as you cook or sit down with a plate of warm, steaming, fresh food? Let the smell awaken your appetite and senses. Experience the scent of your meal as one of the glorious, sensational blessings of the meal. Let your body know more about what it's being brought into it as soon as it becomes the body. Look at it. Enjoy its beauty, the colors, textures, arrangement, whatever. It's like the sight before your bite. And then taste what you're eating. Take your time and enjoy each bite. slowly, consciously chew and consume what your meal is. Feel the textures and sensations, the temperature, the consistency. Really get present with the experience. There's a Vedic practice to hold lightly and lightly chew and experience a single raisin in your mouth for hours at a time. It's a meditative practice to allow the subtle layers of flavor and textures of the raisin and the complex and highly sensitive abilities to experience food and just like allow it to be exemplified. So if you're curious about that, I think it's really fun to try. And I think making it even 30 seconds is like a really awesome start. I think that's how far I made it my first time. And if you make it past an hour, I would like, please send me an email because I would love to know what that's like to hold a raisin in your mouth for an hour. Yeah, I think it's a cool meditation. So that's an extreme example of how we can get really present with what we're eating, but no matter what it is, and just enjoy the depth of what it offers. The next practice is where. Where are you eating your meal? I want you to picture yourself at an incredible restaurant in Paris, France. You walk through two heavy old castle-looking doors into a beautiful entryway with vaulted ceilings, marble floors, and maybe even a fountain or a statue in the front entryway. A professional, warm, inviting host greets you and escorts you into the main dining area. The restaurant is opulent. It's rich with beautiful, heavy drapes, decorating the tall, big windows, high-backed antique chairs, soft, elegant lighting, chandeliers, a room full of well-dressed people. You sit down to an exquisitely appointed table, complete with candles and freshly cut aromatic flowers. You're ready to dine. Just imagine how much happier and excited and joyful hours you're preparing for your meal. Imagine how you got ready for this dining experience. Take a shower, did your hair, your makeup, put on gorgeous outfit, adorned your body with your favorite oils, your scents, and jewelry. And imagine how much you will take the time to appreciate, savor, and be present with your meal and all the enjoyment and nourishment it offers. It's a lot, I think. And I think it's definitely on the further end of the spectrum of how we probably normally dine. So I want to put that out there as an example of like what the extent we can go to in creating an incredible dining atmosphere and how much we put around our experience of eating food and taking in our nourishment. And how much you can bring it in to your dining experience and see how much we're capable of and how much room we have to like go with what our day-to-day eating habits are. So this next point is for you to bring in kind of more of a dining room atmosphere. Set the mood, create a pleasant experience. And most importantly, just sit down in a calm, settled atmosphere. The other end of the spectrum would be like eating from the fridge or standing up in the kitchen or while driving or even worse, while walking. If you know about Vata, and it's clear to see how walking and eating at the same time will completely unsettle your entire system. So please never eat and walk. It's like the worst habit, I think. Instead, sit down in a calm and settled atmosphere. And just basically create a lovely dining experience if you can. But just make sure at least you're sitting down somewhere, preferably a table, add some flowers, some music. The next is when. And one of the most basic Ayurvedic rules to when we eat is when the Agni or digestive fire is the strongest. So this fire, the Agni, is in alignment with the greater energies of the earth and sun. And when the sun is strongest, from about noon to two, the digestive fire is the strongest. This internal fire at its strongest and most concentrated location is in the acidic digestive juices of bile, where the bottom of our stomach meets our small intestine. It's been scientifically proven that all primates have the most bile produced and ability to digest around noon to 2. So this means having your main meal at lunch and a light early dinner. That's basically helping us align with the power of the earth and being able to break down our most food during the middle of the day. And then in the evening time, we have a very little bile available to us, very little agni or digestive fire to take in what we're digesting or to digest what we're taking in. We'd have a smaller meal at that time in the evening. And this greatly, greatly reduces the chances for any ama to build up in the body. Having an early dinner also gives the metabolic fires the time, space, and energy to do their work and burn off any ama that may have built up previously. This concept of agni brings us into the next fifth step of these Ayurvedic guidelines, and that's why. So ideally, we eat simply because we are hungry. Hunger, not even appetite, is the most basic and paramount reason to eat. In reality, there are a lot of reasons why we eat. It could be time to eat, I should eat, everyone else is eating. If I don't eat now, I'll be too blah, 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 whatever, fill in the blank later. It looks good, it smells good. I'm sad, I'm nervous, I'm bored. I think that the list of reasons that we eat, it could be endless. I think there's a lot to uncover there. And we could dig in really deep. And I know it's a hot spot. And it's definitely a place for me too. It touches on me and like my habits. But I'll save the focus of that probably for another time. I think the best why to eat is because we, in our physical body, needs a physical nourishment to take in. So our best and healthiest guidelines is to eat only when we have a clear, strong hunger. We can tell the need and sensation for the desire for food at the base of our belly. One of these, so those are basically kind of like the five guidelines that I want to touch upon. And I think one of the really good examples I have of my experience of this is when I did my first Ayurvedic cleanse, Khichdi cleanse. I think it was about 7 years ago. And if you're familiar with the Khichdi cleanse, it's basically you're just eating Khichdi. It's white rice cooked with split mung dal beans, and then you add a bunch of spices to it like turmeric, ginger, cumin, fennel, fenugreek, cinnamon, cloves, mustard seeds, maybe whatever. You can just like, it's like a ton of like really healthy healing spices. It's really good for the digestive system. And, but it's basically like a bowl of like kind of like mush. It's like rice and dal cooked down really soft. And, it's just like really like hearty and nourishing. It's kind of like the chicken noodle soup of India. And, for doing a cleanse, you eat that specifically for usually it's about 7 days. And so the first time I did it, I was like kind of just diving in and committed to doing and eating just Khichdi, this like yellowish mush for 7 days. And it became really drastically aware to me of how many different reasons that I eat and different ways that I eat. I was like, by day 3, you're definitely only eating because you're hungry, because you're kind of sick of Khichdi. And so it's like, you have to like really want and need something in your stomach to like want to eat your little bowl of mush. And then it's like you kind of like slowly have to like really drop in to like what the like really subtle flavors are and like appreciate, you know, maybe the like just like the warmth of your food. Or I remember just chewing like really, really slow and just like appreciating like the kind of like simple like nourishment, like heaviness that it gave me, and like to like just be satisfying my hunger. And when you're eating, when it becomes almost it became almost like flavorless in a way. And in that sense too, it's like, wow, it's like I really stopped eating when I was full, like when I could like physically feel into being full and just like really feel more satisfied, easier, and not feel like I was overeating just for the sake of sensation or pleasure, or because I was being distracted and not really focusing on what I was eating, or not being aware of my body while I was eating, and overeating without noticing that I'd already been full, or whatever it was, you know. So it's like, it was like a really awesome practice just to like drop into like why I eat and how I want to be eating and what's the best way to eat. So that like flipped my world. And from that place, that was kind of like, that was really far on the spectrum for me of where I was at with my healthy eating habits. And since then, it's still like a continual practice of just like being present and aware of our habits and my habits, and just like continually wanting to improve upon them. And also like not being strict with it. Like I still, if you know me, it's like, you know, I'm going to have a nice piece of chocolate cake at your birthday party or whatever. I think another big part of it is that it can be really hard for us to make these changes in our day-to-day lifestyle. Like even when we know what we can do better, like so many of these things we already know, like all these things that I listed, I think that at least half of them, you're like, oh yeah, like I know that, like what, but maybe some of them it's like, why aren't I doing that? Why aren't I practicing it? And it takes a lot to consciously take in a habit or lifestyle change and implement it and have it last for the long haul. There's so many things that we already know and we want to be doing, and the trick is just like making it happen. So that's a part of the practice that I've been studying in yoga health coaching, is how to implement small incremental changes in a Kaizen theory approach of just doing like the easiest little thing to step into your habit change, and also practicing the use of triggers in the sense of having a trigger to perform your habit and then have like a reward. So a simple example of that would be if you're at a stoplight and the light turns from red to green, that's the trigger, and the habit is to drive through the intersection, and the reward is that you get closer to your destination. And so I've been practicing and coaching people through these habit trigger and rewards. And different triggers can be an emotional feeling, a person, a prior action, a prior habit, or a specific place or time. So there's often ways that we can get like specifically triggered into making a habit. So your habit might be you know, brushing your teeth. And so it's not something you have to conscientiously think about anymore. It's like your trigger is you wake up in the morning, your habit is you go into the bathroom and brush your teeth, and your reward is your mouth feels clean. You know, and it's like that habit has become so established in your life, it's just there. And you may probably even with like getting hungry. It's like, oh, I get hungry, I go into the kitchen, I find something to eat, that's my habit, and my reward is I feel satisfied. So I've been working a lot with that, and using these like methods as part of the program that I'm launching in April for the 10-week soul body bliss, and where we practice on 10 specific Ayurvedic habits to shake things up and make big change. It's really awesome. The best part of the plan is if you're craving or desiring or needing or psyched up to make an improvement in your life and how you feel and how you care for yourself, your own self-care practices, and especially if you're having any big health issues, these are some like really, really powerful, stable ways to create a healthier experience of life and healthier care for yourself. If you're curious about learning more about that, and potentially if I can help you, if we are good to work together, I'd love for you to sign up for a free strategy session. And I'm going to do 5 free strategy sessions in the course of the next 2 weeks. So if you're hearing this recording, or for those of you that are on the call, doesn't really matter, just go to my website, annaveda.com. ANNAVEDA.com, and there's a link to sign up for a strategy session, or you can just send me an email and we can dive in and see where it is, where you're at right now, and what your goals are for how you want to feel and how you're going to get through any of the whatever it is you're dealing with right now, whatever your struggles are, your challenges are with your health. And yeah, thanks so much, guys. It's really fun to share this with you all, and I hope to hear from you, and I hope you have a beautiful, wonderful Tuesday evening, or night, wherever it is that you are, and I'm sending you much love and gratefulness. Have a good night, you guys. Bye.